The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Ed Morse means more than 70 years of service and professionalism and great service to the community across the state of Florida. Ed Morse family-owned dealerships, and they are right here in the Tampa Bay area with Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. You've heard us sing their praises here on the podcast, and we could not be more sincere. Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher. Get to their website, edmorsecadillactampa.com. You can start shopping right now. Look at all the great July offers. And then, of course, the August offers are coming right down the line. And there's tremendous year-round opportunity at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. Go to joebucksfan.com. You can find offers there as well. And our friends at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, they just finished a wonderful charitable promotion on Saturday. Very exciting at the dealership. They're right there on Causeway Boulevard. And at edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. Head to their website as well. That's where you want to start your car shopping search. Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. We'll talk more about them later. And here's Ira.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Happy Tuesday. It's the Ira Kaufman Podcast, starring the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Ira Kaufman. Thank you for tuning in to us, the legions of loyal listeners. I'm Steve Isbitz at JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper is here. And, of course, the sage is adorning his Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa gear. His Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, fiery red, because he is on fire. Ira, thanks for coming out. We're here at Hooters, so you never miss a time where we
never, baby,
broadcast here. How are you today, man?
I'm doing well. You know, Lee, do you realize that by the time our listeners are tuning into this podcast, I'm going to be on a treadmill, not a treadmill of nowhere, a treadmill to a stress test. And, you know, I almost tweeted this out the other day, but I thought it was a little over the top, Lee. I was going to put out a tweet that, hey, I'm due for a stress test on Tuesday, and, you know, it's a tough grind on that treadmill when they really crank it up. And I said, why bother with the treadmill? Just tell me to watch 2017 Buck highlights. I'm ready for your inspection.
Now, was this before or after you tweeted about the person that writes for Paul Anka?
Oh, you caught that Paul Anka thing.
Now, well, Paul Anka's a star.
Now, you know who's one of his best friends in the world is? Eddie DeBartolo.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, because I went to a DeBartolo party at the Hall of Fame after Mr. D got in. Paul Anka was the night's entertainment. He was sitting at a table with DeBartolo, and they were talking about how many years they go back together and this and that.
A super crooner like that?
You know, and I asked Paul Anka a couple questions about Chuck Berry from the 50s. What kind of guy was he? Oh, I'm the only guy that would ask him. And he said, get away from me. Get away from me.
Only Ira would ask Paul Anka.
I'm asking Paul Anka. But anyway, I'm doing well,
you
Steve.
You ever talk to Dick Vitale?
Well, I know where to find him at Rays games. I know exactly where he sits, right next to the dugout. Steve, we just spent the weekend together. Now, I don't want that to sound the wrong way, but the three of us just spent the weekend together at $1. And you boys will be back out in the heat on Tuesday. Good luck to you. I'll be back on Wednesday.
Well, 4 days of training camp in the books, Ira, and the end of the month is here. So, of course, that means a whole nother rack of fantastic offers is coming for August at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Get to their websites, edmorsecadillactampa.com, edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. You can still take advantage on some tremendous opportunities, 0% financing options. Definitely get there, edmorsecadillactampa.com, edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. But Ira, 4 days of training camp in the books. This is your 40th year since you started covering the NFL.
I saw that tweet, Isbitz. I saw it.
How about that?
40 freaking years in this business. I saw it.
So 4 days into training camp, Bucks training camp. Sage, some of your insights. What are you seeing that stands out to you?
Well, I used the word nondescript, on Monday to describe it. Low-key, hardworking, a little more physical, I think, than last year. Thank God. within the guidelines. I think that's all for the good because this team has work to do. They got a lot of work to do. No question about it. I don't expect them to reverse that 5-11 record, but Lee, 7-9 is unacceptable. I'm sorry. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear any excuses. And one thing I'll say about Cutter, who I think has been a little bit edgy when he's been at the podium, and you're about to tell us why you don't blame him, but one thing about him, he doesn't make excuses. He doesn't use injuries as a crutch, generally speaking. Other coaches do. Cutter doesn't. I think that's one of the things that endear him to the players. And, quote, get him to play hard for Coach Cutter. We've heard that, you know, last year down the stretch. He doesn't BS a lot to the players or to the media. I don't think he says some guy's playing, practicing great when he's not. And he doesn't make excuses. So, Lee, to me, it's been a lack of buzz, not a bad thing. Peter King the other day put out this itinerary, Lee, where he's going to be for the next 22 days. Every day he's hitting a different camp. He ain't coming. He ain't, one Bucks place is not on his list.
Good.
Lee. So you say good. We might get prickly Pete Prisco, who's going to be bugging me to put Tony Boselli in the Hall of Fame and tell me how much better the Jaguars are than the Tampa Bay Bucks.
But, I'm a big Tony Boselli guy, so I can understand that.
Lee, to me, it's been nondescript. It's been hardworking. Not a lot of buzz. All that could change Saturday. We'll get to that when the stick carriers
well,
come out.
Did you see what Albert Breer wrote? Not that Albert
Breer has
a pulse of the Bucks.
No, I did not.
But it, you know, he's typing from his ivory tower, isolated ivory tower in Boston. Doesn't know that chicks go to Nashville for bachelorette parties. Never heard of that, whatever that. And I can't stand country music, but I'm in touch enough to know they have a massive, massive country music festival once a year in Nashville that is broadcast on ABC, not ESPN.
Nice.
Even I know that, and I can't stand music, and he doesn't know that.
Is Paul Anka playing in that
Probably.
Festival?
They always have guests from outside country.
What does Breer guy have to say?
They have the least mojo of any NFL team.
That was Don Banks, wasn't it? Wasn't that Don Banks?
Yeah, it's another Boston Ivory Tower. It was Don Banks.
It was
right.
Don Banks.
It was right. And I'll say the same.
How does Don Banks in a position to judge that, Steve?
I just think it's funny because after all that, now we know at least
he's got the wrong
Albert
guy.
He's not an Albert Breer fan.
I mean, he's a nice guy, but I've dealt with him a couple times.
That's a stupid column, you know, mojo. The guy hasn't been here.
Well, you know what? He's absolutely no. But you don't have to be living in Tampa to know what the following. And this is what he wrote. There seem to be you can make arguments for some optimism with the Bucks, and then Winston's suspension came and all the air came out of the balloon. I'm in that boat.
Well, I told Steve right before we started this podcast that I saw something on Twitter. It's only one Vegas book or whatever it was, and it had latest Super Bowl odds, and I believe, and it had them, you know, February 1st, and then what they are today, and I believe the Bucks have gone from 60-1. They're 125-1. They're the longest shot, Steve, on the board. I know you're going to tell me it's only one book. But those odds are astronomical. They're below the Cleveland Browns, Mr. Isbitz.
Why don't you tell them, Steve?
What's that tell you?
What you said was logical.
Well, what I said to you, Ari, just generally with the sports books, when they're looking at Super Bowl odds. Now, it's not odds to get to the Super Bowl.
I think to win the Super Bowl.
It's odds to win the Super Bowl. And that starts in Vegas with your odds to win the division. And the Bucks are not considered any kind of threat to win the division. So that lowers your Super Bowl odds big time because then you're looking at a possible wild card. And then they look at the strength of the NFC, which is very, very strong this year, like it was last year. So it doesn't put the Bucks in a good light with the gamblers. But, Ira, you know, I think you, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, saying that this has been a nondescript start to training camp, I think for a guy like me, I got to disagree with you because all I know is the first round pick, a top 13 pick, whatever he was, 13th?
12th.
Vita Vea just went down with an injury. Now, you know what? When you're not a very good team, you expect your first rounder to come in and contribute and to be a difference maker. To me, that's descript. The top pick just went down. Who knows what's
what,
going on?
What are you sounding? A five alarm fire, Isbitz? Word on the street. Lee, and it's a long street, it's not a serious injury. He might miss, you know, if he misses a week, he misses a week. Hey, I'm the guy that says don't be shocked if he don't start in New Orleans. He's going to contribute. Now, by the way, and I didn't have room to put this quote in, but I did a column on Mike Smith on Monday, Lee.
It's the internet. You got room to put the quote in.
I don't want Isbitz telling me it's the column's too long.
Well, there's no such thing as, okay, you got to hold it to 15 inches.
But he started talking about Vita Vea. And he said he's kind of stunned, and Smith's been in this game a long time. He don't shock easily. But again, you've heard it before.
I hope
but
he didn't
said
watch
again,
film from last year.
How
then.
Big, how quick he is for how big he is. Mm. You know, it's quite a combo. He also said, because I said, well, what do you say to the people that say, there's no way Vita Vea is going to be on the field on third down? Third and seven, Vita Vea is not going to be on the field. He goes, that's absolutely wrong.
Oh,
that's
wow.
Absolutely wrong. He's a quality pass rusher.
Well, the Bucs apparently allegedly got deeper at that position, going out and getting Bo Allen and Unrein. So and let's say, I shouldn't say worst case scenario, but let's say he's out 3 weeks. You know, everybody's bragging and beating their chest. Oh, the Bucs beefed up on the defensive line. If they beefed up on the defensive line, he's only going to, if, we don't know that now. Let's say he only misses a couple games. That shouldn't be an issue.
Well, Steve, on the whole topic, and you guys know this, especially you, Steve, because you read my copy before it goes out. And I admit it. You know, I admit it. Somebody wants to take a shot and say, all right, how many columns are you going to write about the defensive line? Steve, the more I think about it, this season ain't about Ryan Fitzpatrick and Jameis Winston. It's not. I'm sorry. It's about that defensive line. If they're as good as advertised, if they're as good as Light thinks they are, if they're as good as Buckner thinks they can be, this team could do a lot of things.
They have
just
to be dominant.
In and of itself.
They have to be dominant. They can't just be good. They have to be dominant.
Very good. They have to be very good.
Yeah, that's what I mean, dominant.
Steve, if they're very good, you know, everything falls into place. I'm telling you. All of a sudden, Quan Alexander could be an all-pro all of a sudden. All of a sudden, Lavonte David could have five sacks because you don't know when he's coming. You don't plan for – you don't know he's coming every play like last year.
Sure.
And your favorite whipping boy besides Charles Sims, Mr. DeKemper, is Ryan Smith.
Oh, does he make
and Ryan, Ryan And Ryan Smith looks a lot better. Steve, the more I think about it, even more than Ronald Jones, even more than Caleb Benenach, this season rises and falls with those eight guys up front, five of which are new. Golston, if you're listening, you better strap on that helmet because you're going to have to improve by leaps and bounds to keep your job, even to get on the field maybe. Steve, tell me if I'm wrong. This season depends on that defensive line, I believe.
It's an important cog, Ira. It's just got to be better for me. I don't think that – I mean, Lee's written they have to be dominant to get past the first three games and for the – because the secondary is so subpar.
And along with the Vita Vea line that Steve said, you know, one injury won't crush you now. Won't crush you.
Shouldn't.
That's a big difference. Guys are going to get injured.
Yeah, I just am not going to put that much stock in the D-line in your frame of reference for the whole team because I look at the offensive side of the ball and I very simply see more weapons than the Buccaneers have ever had.
So that you're proving my point. If the defense is good.
No, I think this team is finally capable of outscoring teams on a regular basis. And there's no more excuses for the offense. The defense, a lot of new moving parts. At least they have some learning curves and some excuses there built in. The offense has no excuse.
Steve, we don't know about under center, Steve. We don't know what's going on.
What do you mean that's going on? You want
average 28 points. Tell me, I don't even know who the quarterback is.
Ira, we know exactly what's going on. We've got Ryan Fitzpatrick for three games and Jameis Winston after that. So we know. And Fitzpatrick, he put up points last year, and he's 21-21 in his last 42 starts. I'll take that.
Look at Steve doing the deep think over
here.
And Fitz is also 1-8, I think, against the Steelers, Eagles, Saints.
Winston had these weapons last year, Isbits, and they averaged 21 points. So
I know. That's why there's no more excuses.
Put that in your fedora and smoke
it. I'm just saying the offense, if I had to, somebody said, hey, what's more important to this team this year, putting up points and using the weapons or a powerful defensive line, I want those points on the board. Dirk Cutter, fourth-year coordinator, calling the shots. There's no more time left.
Here's what I'm concerned about. Over the weekend, Cutter said his goal is 125 yards a game on the ground.
He did, yeah.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if our hardcore football fan listening audience would know this name.
That gets you to 2,000 for the season. That's like a magic number.
Well, first thing is, you have perhaps the deepest set of wide receivers in the NFL. Never dreamt in my mind we would ever say that about the Bucs, but you can make that argument. Yeah, the Steelers might have better starters, but they're not as deep as the Bucs. Bucs are so deep at wide receiver. Your team is clearly built to throw. Clearly. There's no question about it. So Cutter comes out and says, well, we got to run the ball 125 yards a game. I hearken to when John Makovic left Illinois to go to Texas.
John Makovic. John? I hated him when he was a Chiefs coach. He was terrible.
Well, he was terrible as an NFL coach. College coach, he wasn't bad. He's a very good passing guru in college. Jeff George, he built Jeff George, for example, and some other scrub quarterbacks. So anyway, scrub NFL quarterbacks, I should say. At any rate, when he got to Illinois for like 10 or 12 years, passing offense. Mike White was head coach for a while. Then Makovic took over. They're running backs. They weren't much running backs. They were more like Charles Sims types, receiving backs. Their offensive line, good pass blockers, not run blockers. Well, Tepper was a defensive coordinator. He was there when Stephen Rice was there. He takes over. They hire him from within. One of the very first thing he says as introductory press conference, we're going to run the ball. Well, that's nice if you have the horses. Illinois was not built to run the ball. Well, he ran the ball all right, and the results were very predictable. They sucked. So what scares me is if Cutter's going to come out and say, well, if we get 125 yards a game on the ground, we're going to win. Dirk, all these wide receivers? And last year you said your number one, you're now your number one running back wasn't Gale Sayers.
Lee, I think you're overstating it, Mr. D, in terms of, look, I think Cutter's point was simple. He wants balance. He wants to keep defenses
balance,
off balance.
If you
so, you know, you run 30 times for 125 yards. That's a pretty good running game, you know. And then you throw, you throw 32 times. I happen to think Winston's throwing the ball too often. Part of that is because they're behind. I understand that. Part of it is the defense is lousy. I understand that, too. Well, if this defense takes that leap, Lee, that we're talking about, now you got it. You want them top five. I want them top 12, you know, from 32.
Yeah,
that's a big leap.
I the secondary.
I don't think you got to, you know, balls to the wall throwing the ball because, Steve, your scenario is great with this offense and the weapons and this and that, but I don't see Drew Brees out there. I don't see Matt Ryan, and I don't see Tom Brady and Roethlisberger. I don't see it. Well, am I missing something?
Yeah, because they were number 9 in offense last year. Offense was not the problem.
Not in scoring. Not in scoring.
In yards. And only one team ahead of them missed the playoffs. That was the Chargers. Offense wasn't a problem. So, obviously, you know, philosophically, I understand what Cutter's saying about 125 yards a game. But, Dirk, you know your roster. I would hope you know your roster better than me. You've built a pass.
It's a defensive town, gentlemen. You can talk about DeSean Jackson and Chris Godwin till the crows come out. This is a defensive town, and they got to get back to that. Otherwise, they're spinning their wheels.
Yeah, so it's like a three or four other teams. And until
spinning
they have
their wheels,
offenses.
Baby.
Pittsburgh, defensive town. They got an offense. Bears. Oh, there's a defensive town for you.
Bears, they don't have anything.
Thank you.
Ira, you want to see the defense get better? You know, have a 9-point lead at halftime. That puts the defense on its heels. You know, that's something.
Nicely done, Steve.
How about the first quarter?
Yeah, I got you, Ira. And, you know.
And by the way, Steve, along those lines, let's get right to it. You want to talk about training camp? Let's do it.
Absolutely.
The standout performer, arguably, early in camp, JPP, the early performer. A terror off the edge. They're raving about them when they're using them inside. I didn't think they were going to use them inside. That's a new wrinkle. I didn't think of that. I thought Vinnie Curry was going to move inside. They got Vea. They got McCoy. Unrein. I didn't know they're also thinking about JPP inside.
Gerald McCoy.
They say he's unblockable inside.
Gerald McCoy, about a month ago, it was during underwear football season, he had stated that even he was playing on the outside at times, which I kind of thought was amusing, not because they're trying it, but I thought it was amusing because McCoy bristled last year when, not very much, but a few plays they had him on outside in a 3-4 defense. He did not like that. But now all of a sudden, Brinson Buckner comes in. He's all good.
Steve, you keep an eye on the Giants.
Well, here's what's going on.
Did they use JPP in the interior much?
No. And here's what's going on, though. Look, ultimately, Ira, they want their best four pass rushers on the field on third down.
Mm-hmm.
And they're giving JPP a lot of shots inside, and I can already smell that they see that, you know what, maybe that's the way to do it at some points during the season if Noah Spence comes on. And Vinnie Curry, it looks like he's probably told them he's more comfortable off the left edge.
So you put Curry off the left edge,
which is where JPP has been. I mean, he's, you know, who knows? But they're going to move these guys around.
They're like chess pieces, right?
And they're feeling it out. It's training camp. But it is surprising to see JPP inside as much as he's been in this camp.
Lee, another guy that apparently has caught Cutter's eye, and I'm surprised. because I thought between Carlton Davis and MJ Stewart, I have my money on Carlton Davis. But, you know, I just think he's a little more physical, plays tighter coverage. All I'm hearing right now is how impressive Stewart is, how he's picking up the playbook.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of that.
And it's early.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm kind of I'm not really thinking that because of what you said. It's early now. In a preseason game, if someone plays good or they get roasted, I'll have an opinion. But you know, right now, you know, they've only had two practices with pads on. So for me, there's not a whole lot to go by.
Steve, you buying this? You buying this suggestion? Maybe even more of a suggestion. An assertion, maybe, that that Hargraves is going to be starting at outside corner until third down when they move inside. You betting on Hargraves to start at outside corner?
Betting on him to do it? I think that you know that's probably their dream scenario out of the gate because they probably think Hargraves is better outside than Ryan Smith. So and they're leery of the rookies, so maybe that's how they start it, and eventually a rookie takes over. Outside, I don't know. But I'll say this about Carlton Davis. I said on the podcast, I think 2 weeks ago, was very ominous when Dirk Cutter said in the spring that Carlton Davis has, quote, leveled off. And all of a sudden, he's in.
Nothing gets past you, Isbit.
Ah, stop. All of a sudden, he's a third-team corner in training camp. And MJ Stewart, who Cutter praised for being learning two positions, and basically Cutter, in so many words, said the dude's got no learning curve. He's not dealing with any learning curve issues. You know, it bodes well. Jason Light just needs one of those guys to hit it. And if it's Stewart, hey, great.
Yeah. Lee, one of the plays, correct me if I'm wrong, that Stewart made over the weekend was popping the ball loose from one Ronald Jones.
Yeah. He's not having a good camp.
And Ronald Jones, Lee, we've seen it with our own eyes, still struggling in the pass game. It's going to be a work
not
in progress.
Shock. Yeah, yeah,
be
yeah.
Not a shock. Southern Cal does not, you know, use that type of offense where the backs get a lot of workout and passing.
It's not like the old days where student body left.
That's right. So impressions of Ronald Jones, Mr. DeKemper? Do you see any burst?
Yeah, I did see when one time he ran the ball. That jumped out at me. I'm not saying it's the only time that he did this, but it jumped out at me. He got about 10, 15 yards past the line of scrimmage, threw it in overdrive. Overdrive was like, whoa. And another woe I had was, and unfortunately it's gone because it's on Instagram stories, which only lasts 24 hours. It was on the Bucks Instagram feed. The bomb that Jameis hooked up with DeSean Jackson, I initially thought it was Ryan Smith getting fried. It was Grimes. Quit tucking your shirt in, Grimes. Come on, man. You know?
So you're ready to blame Ryan Smith no matter what. Even if he was on the field, you're going to blame him.
Well, you know, he gave me a lot of reasons to.
<All right. laughs>
He's got a body of work to go by.
So it was Grimes.
This
was
bomb Grimes. Yeah. Yesterday or Sunday that Jameis had to Jackson. The one shot I'm referring to, which only the Bucks have now because it's vanished on Instagram stories. Timeline. Expired. It expired.
Yeah.
It was shot from ground level, and it followed DeSean Jackson. It didn't follow the ball like NFL films. It followed DeSean Jackson. Man, is he quick. That's the first time I could point to something like, this son of a gun ought to be a track star. And he just blew by a couple of defenders. Blew by. Just
you know,
boom.
Steve, you know who also
like
looks?
They were mailboxes.
You know who also looks quick? Peyton Barber. Peyton Barber looks a little quicker, Steven.
Quicker.
I think he's going to get the bulk of the carries this year.
Yeah,
there's a couple of things going on there, Ira. But first, let me mention training camp takeover day is Saturday. Now, what is that? In case you're just tuning back, you don't know what that is.
That's the next session open to the general public.
Or you forgot from last year. Open practice at One Buck Palace. They gave away tickets, free tickets, in order to keep the numbers down to make sure they could accommodate everybody. But the tickets sold out in a hurry. And as the Joe Bucks fan, Bucks Uncensored, crazy training camp takeover, the stick carriers, everybody come on out, get there early. The Bucks are committed to accommodating everybody, and the stick carriers, who will be there at about 6:30 lined up, they've got lots of extra tickets because when they first jumped on tickets, six were available, they took them. You know, maybe they'll bring four people. And
They hoarded them, Lee.
They
hoarded them.
And not necessarily so nobody else could get them. It was just like, hey, they're free. Okay, I'll take six and I'll pass them
six.
Out. I'll bring what I got. So, you know, you might have three guys coming out and they've got three extra tickets. So come on out. It's going to be absolute lunacy. and you can stroll around training camp and get into the indoor facility early, and the place is going to be rocking.
It's a different setup, Steve. Different setup.
Totally
out
different
there.
Setup. But that's Saturday. Get to training camp. It's going to be a lot of fun. And Ira,
you know
now,
it's going to be fun when the stick carriers get in that indoor facility and do their thing. It's going to be fun in the sense that Bucks coaches and players, they have no choice. It's going to be like New Orleans. They have to go hand signals, they have to go silent count, you name it. That's what's going to be fun.
And, Steve, this is not a weather-related decision about going inside. They're going to go inside. That's guaranteed.
Yeah, great point. The last 30, 40 minutes of practice will be indoors. And on Sunday, they did the autograph session indoors. And fans got some outdoors,
and
too.
And obviously, if it rains, they're going to go indoors even earlier. So, lightning, yeah. I mean. Lightning. Not rain, but lightning.
That's right.
Exactly. So, and you can go indoors during practice as well if you just want to camp out there and wait for the last 45 minutes.
Which
you
might
do
be
that
smart.
Too. You could do that as well. And, Ira, now we're going to get an update on the Bourbon Street Takeover.
Uh-oh.
From FanRetreat.com. All right, that Bourbon Street Takeover is for real. You want to go to FanRetreat.com. It is a 48-hour getaway to opening day in New Orleans. Wow. You fly out there Saturday morning. You can, of course, go earlier or come back later. But there's a great package set up. Go out Saturday. We've got an event Saturday night, free. Ira's going to speak. Justin Pulaski, head of the Stick Carriers. Lee from Joe Bucks Fan. A big pep rally, bash, fun time, Bucks intensive the night before. And then we hit the streets to a party in New Orleans. The next day is the game. You can get all your tickets at FanRetreat.com. We have a group hotel with a discount. There's going to be transportation to and from the hotel, and you can fly back Sunday night after the game. This is the road trip of the season from our friends at FanRetreat.com. FanRetreat.com. Go there. Click on Popular Retreats. You can sign in. You can click Join the Retreat. You can click Interested in the Retreat. You can see who else is going, but many more are going who aren't even going through Fan Retreat just because they haven't done that process yet. So this is going to be huge. It is huge. And it's at FanRetreat.com. Get there today. Check it out if you're thinking about it. It's way less expensive than you probably think, really. And game tickets in New Orleans are not that expensive, even though they're sold out. And Fan Retreat's also going to be rolling out to anyone who signs into the retreat some great discount offers. So you can get your flights now, your hotel now, and get your tickets later. FanRetreat.com, that's your home for all event tickets, all hotel flights, anywhere. It's like SeatGeek meets Expedia.com, and you can just a one-stop shop and really do some cool stuff. FanRetreat.com, Bourbon Street Takeover. It's going to be wild. So fired up for that, Ira. It is going to be a lot of fun. I know you are ready after your treadmill to feast in appropriately.
You know, Lee, when we were talking in February and March, you know, what game, when the schedule comes out, you know, should we pick for the fan takeover?
This is a no-brainer, man.
Yeah, and you know, you guys remember this. I said it right away in February and March. I go, gee, I hope they're playing at New Orleans in week one. Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah.
They must have heard me on Park Avenue. I said, New Orleans, week one. Wouldn't that be a beautiful thing if the schedule came out like that? Bingo. Finally, the Bucks get a break.
I'm telling you, I'm going to buy you a meal at the gumbo shop.
You're on, baby.
Do you see what one of our readers, one of Joe Bucks fans' readers did? I guess he always hears me talking about the gumbo shop on his podcast. Well, he went to New Orleans, you know, for some fun. And he found a gumbo shop, and someone took a picture of him standing next to the gumbo, the sign outside.
Did he drop your name to Kemper?
I don't know, but he said the food was dynamite.
There you go.
Which it is.
All right, Ira, I wanted to call you back to your attention. You talked to Team Glazer in May in Atlanta when you had your little sit-down with them. They went on the record to talk about how special and unique that Ronald Jones is to this offense. Haven't had a guy like this around here anymore. And I feel a little bad for the kid because he's still 20 years old. And he essentially right now is at rock bottom in the NFL. He just fumbled in his first touch with pads on, coughed it up. And
a fact that you pointed out to Coach Cutter over the weekend.
I did.
Steven.
I did.
And one word answer.
Got a prompt reply.
And he's got a coach who's very, very nuts about ball security, who believes in veteran running backs. A coach who sort of already acknowledged that, hey, he's a rookie, he can't block. We all have seen he can't catch, but you know what? He can run the ball. Now he's put this big-ass question mark in Cutter's head, and, you know, heaven help the kid if he fumbles in a preseason game. That's going to knock him out for a lot of confidence
it's
going
not,
forward.
Steve, it's not going to be easy for them to turn their back on Ronald Jones. Lee, he gives them a dimension they don't have, just like DeSean, why is this, people say, why is DeSean Jackson still on this team? Why didn't they cut him? Well, they don't have anybody.
Fear.
They don't have anybody close to DeSean Jackson's speed on the outside.
Fear.
You just talked about how quick he is.
Yeah.
Just because he didn't catch any bombs last year doesn't mean he wasn't open on some of those routes. You know, with all due respect to Mike Evans, he's a heck of a receiver, but he's not particularly fast. He doesn't average 17 yards. And he
gets first downs.
And he doesn't get a lot of yards after the catch.
He moves the chains.
Steve, Ronald Jones gives him a certain dimension. They're not going to turn their back on him, especially with Light whispering in Cutter's ear, you know, give him the ball a little bit. And he's got a long way to resurrect himself, Steve. One big
absolutely
play turned the whole thing
absolutely
around.
He's on rock bottom right now. I hope it goes well for him, and it's critical. But Peyton Barber, you mentioned before, I talked to him the other day.
He lose some weight, Steven?
I asked him, hey, Cutter, Cutter said in the spring that he couldn't believe that he sees his weight sheet on all the players, and you weigh 235. He thinks you look fast and lean, and he was surprised, you know, that you're carrying the big weight so well. And he said, well, I actually dropped about 10 pounds. I'm down to 225. I'm faster, and I'm ready. And he's got that look in his eye. He's got that look in his eye like, I am not going to be stopped. I'm going
to. Jones ain't taking my job.
No one's taking my job. I'm going into a contract year. I know I can run for 4 yards a carry in this league. Get out of my way. And it's kind of exciting because he just has that look right through your intensity.
Well, does he have a Gale Sayers jersey? That's still one of the greatest lines, Cutter. I love that line. But here's one for you about running back. You said Jones has a dimension the Bucs don't have. In your esteemed career, how many times have you heard a coach say that, but they didn't use said guy?
Many times.
Yeah.
Many
I could times. Think of a couple off top of my head in the past year, not necessarily in football. Like, you know, coaches, hey, he gives a dimension we don't have, yet he's on the bench.
Hey, one thing about Peyton Barber, Steve, and I'm sure you've got your own experiences, but, you know, towards the end of last year, Barber was running very well behind a makeshift line. You know,
yes.
Benenock was in there. Dotson wasn't in there. A lot of guys were on
Evan
the,
Smith at guard.
IR. And the Buck running game picked up,
yeah.
No question. And look, those guys are never going to, you know, they're never going to say anything bad about Doug Martin, and I understand that.
Yeah,
but when I started mentioning, blocking for Peyton Barber, I'll tell you what, their eyes lit up a little. They like this guy. They think he squeezes every yard there is to be gotten, and maybe an extra yard. He always falls forward. You like blocking for a guy like that, Lee.
Well, it said a lot to me about Barber the first time he started, because was Martin hurt or suspended? I can't remember which. But Martin got, I know it was a healthy scratch. He showed up late to a meeting, I think. But Green Bay, he didn't play. But Barber started at Green Bay. He got about 120 yards? That, to me, said a lot. His first time he ever started in the NFL at that place. And, you know, Barber being a Southern guy, it wasn't exactly warm. I remember Donovan Smith coming out with, like, a ski mask on. It's freaking 40 degrees. He's got a ski mask on.
Steve, we still don't know why Peyton Barber was putting a deep freeze last year after week one. We don't even know why.
It wasn't Gale Sayers.
Yeah, nobody knows the whole Doug Martin thing. But it'll be interesting at running back. You know, we sat here when others months ago, you know, we were saying, the feature guy is going to be Ronald Jones. You take a deep breath. You know, that's not going to be the case unless he really proves he can do it, which we hope he does, because in Cutter's 125-yard scenario, he would love to have Peyton Barber running for 80 and Ronald Jones with, like, 8 carries for 60 yards and
explosive
plays. With one or two explosives in there. So
And my guy Charles Sims catching a couple of screen passes.
One little nugget, I think I threw, you know, the days run together, Ira, but I threw it into a notebook. I think I did. I was watching after practice. I think it was Saturday. And, you know, I've noticed one thing about this camp, Ira. A lot of Bucks are staying after practice longer than usual for extra work. Now, I think part of that is it hasn't been as crazy hot as in past years yet. So maybe that's a little bit, but they're staying really late. Jameis is staying like he's skipping his whole lunch break, throwing routes to no-name receivers.
And OJ. OJ's out there late, too.
Yeah.
Late.
Nate Katzer, the special teams guy, he held a little circle, a coaching circle with 6 guys. I didn't recognize any of them except Ronald Jones, and he had an assistant coach with him. And they were going over some things and some formations and blocking stances and steps and whatever. And twice in about 8 minutes, Ira, Nate Katzer says, "Do you understand that, Ronald? twice, same way. Do you get it, Ronald? And it threw me back to Hard Knocks and Snoop Dogg McPlaybook when he couldn't figure out the special teams. And I know it happens to rookies and the kid's 20, but it just felt awfully ominous the way he was saying it. Like, you get it, man? You know, I don't know.
Let's not turn this podcast into a Ronald Jones bash fest, gentlemen.
No, he's a rookie.
Speaking of Nate Kazzer, I would like to direct the following comments to the Bucks.
What,
special
do you need to buy a hat,
coach?
Like you told me?
I'm laying the gauntlet down. Now, Lee, I wrote a column about this last week about, good outstanding special teams can get you a long way. I use that as an example with Baltimore last. You know, they were plus 17 in turnovers, number one. That's the number one thing.
Well, it helps that Harbaugh was a special teams coach.
That's right.
Time.
Their kicking game's tremendous, Baltimore, every year. They got
a
great
kicking game.
And we know about the Buck kicking game.
Uh-huh.
And the Bucks never break a punt or a kickoff. And they allow a long kickoff the last two games each. Each one taken back to the house. That's an area where they need sharp improvement.
They need sharp improvement.
Sharp improvement.
Just about anywhere.
Sharp. Now, and to me, tell me if I'm wrong, Lee, more than any other position, it's coaching. Special teams. Coaching. Maybe not so much a field goal kicker putting it through the uprights, but everything else, coverage, return units, discipline, stop getting those penalties, coaching with the special teams.
Well, I'm a big coach's guy, but I'm going to throw this to Steve because I hope Steve regales us with this tale. Why don't you explain about what you saw with Buck's backup kicker and how Cutter almost threw up in an indoor facility?
Oh, it wasn't in the indoor facility, but it was just kind of funny outdoors the other day. I was watching the kicking practice, and the backup kicker, who Trevor Moore, undrafted rookie, can't meet guy, but he looked great up until Saturday. And guy steps up for his field goal, tries. He misses the warm-up kick, but okay, it's a warm-up. The guys aren't lined up. Now they're in 11-on-11. He misses two in a row from 30-something, and Cutter's there for that session, the whole session. And he's wearing number 5, and Cutter is about 4 steps from him. He says, "Come on, 5!" And the kid steps up and misses the third one in the exact same way that he missed the second one.
Wait a minute, isn't that the way that Swaggy Baker put the pressure on some of those field goal kicks?
Yeah.
How'd the new guy look, Steve?
And Catanzaro was hitting his kicks.
What was Cutter's reaction after that third miss?
Ace shook his head and just trotted off to the next period. So it was, I felt bad for the kid. And you know what? I didn't see him on Sunday, and I thought, did they cut him? You know, like I was about to text Jason Light or something.
Did I see Brian Anger hit the top of the indoor facility?
He did.
Yeah.
He did. You know what? I'm convinced of this. That poor Dirk Cutter, after what's happened since he came here as offensive coordinator, later as a head coach. You know how puppies, when they sleep, they twitch and they growl?
Oh, this is going to be good, isn't it?
That's what he does about kickers. He sits there in bed and he kicks his wife without knowing it, thinking it's a kicker, and he growls and, you know, because he's nightmares for the guy. Nightmares.
You call him Cutter a dog over there?
No, I'm telling him he has nightmares like a dog about kickers. Dogs have nightmares about squirrels. With Cutter, it's kickers.
And it all goes back to little Matt Bryant, guys. Little Matt Bryant, 10 years ago, let him go. And he's still one of the best.
Yes.
One of the best.
Thanks, Mark.
And
Dominic.
Yeah, Dominic nickel and dimed him. And I guess short term, he saved a few bucks. Long term, it was penny foolish.
Well, Sage, a couple of things I wanted to run by you. Now, I'm going to take you back to the beginning of the podcast. You said kind of nondescript. We understand that you're not too worried about Vita Vea, a big man going down with a calf injury right away. You know, Warren Sapp did warn us that 350-pound men shouldn't play football in Florida, and he hates the pick.
I think the heat's a factor.
So the ghost of Sapp might have come up there, but anyway, not the point. What else are you seeing, and why nondescript? I mean, nobody's jumping out. What should we be seeing that would make it to script?
Well, it's all the accoutrements that I'm used to, the Hard Knocks cameras, the buzz from the national guys. This is a team on the rise. Look out for the Bucks, because every year you know they're looking for these teams that went 8-8, 7-9, and 9-7. You know, so they can look good when that team makes the playoffs. And have you seen anybody picking the Bucks? I think it's fine.
That's fine.
You know what? It's a working man's training camp, and that's not a bad thing. I think that could change when the stick carriers come out. I think the whole atmosphere could change. I'll be very curious to see what kind of reaction they get from the players. We know Cutter embraces them from last year. We don't know if they're going to have a big portrait of Cutter again.
So classic.
That was something. But I'm sticking with low energy, low buzz. That's okay. It's all okay.
I got you, Ira. I got you. Totally. I just wanted to dig deeper into the sage, who, of course, all of his work is presented by our great friends at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. 73 years now of Ed Morse.
That's a few more years than I got in my profession over there.
Yeah, about 2 years, 2 years less. Ed Morse across Florida, great dealerships, South Florida, our area. Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. They do such fantastic work in the community. And when you go with them, you know that you're dealing with a family-owned business that does a lot of charity work, real charity work. And they put so much into it.
When are we going to visit them again, Steve? I always enjoyed those.
You know, we've had
you get free Italian when you go there.
Yeah, we're going to get back there, Sage. I'm looking forward to it. Now,
he's hungry for a chicken farm.
Lee, we're in trouble because Isbeth has some things written down. Yeah,
I got my list here. Sage, I wanted to say this: that I see from other media types and fans, they're buzzing about, oh, Brent Grimes. He is having a bad camp. Looks like he's slowing down. This could be the end. And what I'm seeing when I watch Brent Grimes is a guy who is giving up on plays in camp because he's 35 years old. They don't kick off for the real deal for 6 weeks. And he's not about to prove anything or bust his ass because he doesn't want to get hurt. And he was probably told, Brent, just don't worry about it.
Lee,
so he's not.
Lee, I hate to do it. You know
agree with Isbeth?
I hate to agree with Isbeth, but he's right. This is one time where Isbeth, doesn't overreact and thinks the thing out. And Steve is right, to his credit. Lee, if Grimes is a second-year guy trying to earn a starting job, he's not operating like that. He's hustling like crazy, chasing DeSean Jackson into the end zone. He's the last guy Dirk Cutter and Mike Smith are worried about, believe me. He's the epitome of a pro.
Yeah.
Now, one of these years, he's going to slow down a little. I mean, who knows when? But I don't see it. I'm not going to read anything into training camp. He's their guy back there. He's their Mr. Dependable in that secondary.
Thank God.
Surrounded by a bunch of youngsters. Ooh. You know, Justin Evans.
A bunch of question marks.
Hargraves, the two rookies. You know, you still got Conte's a veteran, but who knows how long Conte will hold on to that job.
Well,
we don't know that.
I'm not
worried about Grimes, Steve. I think you got your finger exactly on it. He's pacing himself. He will be ready for New Orleans.
Well, Steve had a very salient point. You like that word?
That's outstanding.
Very salient point here. When he said Grimes was probably told to take it easy. Aren't they doing that with Dotson?
Yeah, look.
Yeah.
Yes.
There were some plays in Sunday's first padded practice. I don't want Brent Grimes filling the hole and with Peyton Barber blowing in his head, barreling through there. We don't need that in practice. I appreciate Grimes backing off. If DeSean Jackson has two steps on him, so what? So Grimes lets off the gas and let's see if the safety help it gets there. If not, whatever. I look at it this way, Ira. If Brent Grimes decided he was holding out of training camp for whatever reason, hypothetical, and was going to be there week one, nobody would be worried about him.
No.
So I'm not going to worry about him now. He's 100%.
You just want him in shape. Just be ready, in shape.
The goal is to get him on the field in December, not in July.
Well, the goal is to keep the coaching staff intact by December.
That's
so
sure.
I think we'll settle for Halloween.
By the way, I was talking to Fitzpatrick Lee after practice.
Arbor Day.
The other day. He was playing around. He's always got his kids around, cute kids. And his wife was there, and I was just talking to him, off the cuff, no tape recorder or anything, about the facility. He thinks the facility's fantastic. The stick carriers are about to find that out on Saturday. He thinks it's a tremendous tonic for the players coming in there for the last 40 minutes. Not every practice, but when they're open for the general public, that's guaranteed.
A mental lift?
Mental lift, yeah, absolutely a mental lift. Thinks they did it right, and he's seen a lot of he's seen a lot of facilities.
Yeah.
So I asked, the first thing I said to him is, how's your arm holding out? You throwing your arm out? He just laughed. He's a guy that's, you know what? He's embracing this, Steve. He's embracing this challenge. If he gets replaced after 3 weeks, he'll understand, Lee. He'll understand. And I think, you know, if he doesn't go 3-0, he's going to get replaced. And I probably wouldn't have a big problem with it. Maybe they hold another week because of the strangeness of the schedule with the bye week. They could give him another week, not just to give Winston. Don't forget, Winston's not going to be around at all for those 3 weeks.
No, but when I know, I think I know where you're going. Some people said, oh, it's a short week. Not for Jameis. He's got 3 weeks to prepare for the Bears.
But not prepare with the team.
If he was smart, and this is what I would do, but obviously I'm not Jameis. If Jameis was smart, he'd call up Bruce Arians. Obviously, those guys have a long relationship. He's a Bruce. I'm going to cut you a check for $10,000. Then become to Alabama. Let's work out every day. Let's go through Bears tape, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I would not be surprised Arians picks him up. And you know, Arians is one of the best passing coaches there is. I don't think that would be a dumb move. Or Peyton Manning, even. Say, hey, Peyton, let me come up to your place. I don't know if Peyton's living in Tennessee now. Let me come up to your place, Tennessee, for a couple weeks. Help me get prepared for the Bears. Let's work out. And who better is brain to pick than Peyton Manning?
Steve, do you get any sense? There's some suggestions out there. Tell me if you've heard it from some media types that they're looking at camp and they're trying to say, you know, well, it kind of looks in some ways that they're trying to teach Winston a lesson. They're making him eat humble pie. You see any sense of that?
I heard Rick Stroud say it on his stupid podcast that they're.
I didn't even know.
Yeah,
oh,
he came right out and said it, that they're putting him in his place, and he likes it. You know, I don't really think.
What did
he
use as evidence of that?
I don't know, but I don't see Dirk Cutter thinking that way. He's just trying to do what he thinks is going to get him ready to win games. He just needs to win games.
Cutter's being pragmatic, right?
Yeah, completely pragmatic.
Another good word over. Yeah, you're on a roll over here.
He's got Ryan Griffin taking all the second team reps. Okay, that's sort of normal for a backup quarterback. It appears he's given Jameis 25% of the first team reps and pretty much all the third team reps, because third team doesn't get as much as the other two. And Ryan Fitzpatrick's getting 3 out of 4 of the main reps, and it kind of makes sense. I don't see it other than anything like Lee said. Just hit Cutter being pragmatic. We thought about it. This is the best way to do it. You know, we've talked about this, you know, for every week, really. Just to me, what's going to be fascinating, I'll say it a million times, if with jobs on the line and the urgency we've talked about it this season, if the Bucs are 1-2 and Fitzpatrick has played pretty well and Jameis comes in, first practice, going to be Wednesday, no pads, after Monday Night Football, and he looks rusty as hell. Man, is that a tough call for Cutter if he thinks that Jameis doesn't look like he needs a few practices. With that bye week looming out there, it's going to be an interesting call, Wes. I see it.
I think that's an open question, Lee. Lee, what are your impressions of Winston's demeanor in training camp? Does he look humble? Is he shell-shocked? What do you see?
I'm just going ahead and say this. I don't know if I should or not. I'm just going to go ahead and say this. It's what I saw. It's what I heard. To the best of my knowledge, the indoor facility is on the record, unless someone you're speaking with says it's off the record. When Jameis had his press conference, and I wasn't really interested in what he had to say, because if you're of the mind that he's guilty and you wanted him to say he's sorry, well, here come the handcuffs and the lawsuits. He wasn't going to do that. Well, him and Nelson Louise were walking out the field. 95% of the people don't know who Nelson Louise is. He's vice president of communications. In other words, in layman's terms, he runs PR for the Bucs. We talk about often how these guys are coached up before they have a press conference. You know, and he's the guy that tells coaches, players, whatever, what to say. Here's the topics so you will likely be asked. Here's a good answer, et cetera, et cetera. Jameis and Nelson were walking away. I don't know what Nelson said to him. I couldn't hear Nelson. I could hear Jameis. And Jameis said, I'm not going to lie. What was I supposed to say? You could read it in that what you want. So if Jameis was humbled, I don't know. But Sunday, same old Jameis, I thought. The way he interacted with the fans and everything, he was playing with the kids. I just got a picture of him playing with Evan Smith's little boy. He, you know, almost threw him up in the air to catch him.
I don't have any question. Not a scintilla. There's my word.
Oh, okay.
Steve, I don't have a scintilla of doubt that Winston is going to be a very good teammate through this trying period and support Fitzpatrick in the way that he should and not feel sorry for himself. I don't have any doubts on about Winston in that regard.
No, I think he'll be a great teammate. He's been great with the fans. I watched him a lot with the fans on Sunday. Afterwards, did a lot of really over and above with the fans.
How's he look throwing the football,
outside the facility? He's been spotty, but to me, he looks very uncomfortable in two areas. One, he's uncomfortable throwing to these garbage receivers in
That's the third team.
He looks awkward, and I don't know how else to say it. So whatever that means, I don't know.
No timing at all with these guys.
No, it looks awkward, and he looks off, and I'm sure that's partially on him.
Ragged.
Very much on the receivers. So, you know, he's a professional, and he's got to work with that. But I've kept my camera on him many times. I've got a lot of pictures, too. When the first team is playing, if you have your camera on Jameis Winston,
and he's not,
there, he looks like somebody stole a stuffed animal, and he's 5 years old. He doesn't look happy, and I've seen backup quarterbacks on this team before, Josh McCown, pretending to take the snap with the first team when he's not in it, and he's rah rah and he's everywhere. I've seen other guys handle it differently. Jameis is not handling it visibly well when the first team is out there and he's not. And he's probably not supposed to, but I think that's weighing on him that when he's not in there and he hears Cutter calling the play and he's like, got to watch Fitzpatrick get under center, and I think it's killing
him. He's been knocked to the canvas, Lee. He's not knocked out, mm-hmm. but he's been knocked to the canvas.
I just wonder, and we probably will never know, but what was his demeanor like last year when he was hurt? And he was obviously watching Fitzpatrick work with the first team.
I don't know that we don't get to watch practice when it's for real like that. Of course, Jameis was in training camp, but it's interesting, Ira. You know, do you like the split of the reps so far? You like it?
I think it makes sense, Lee, because to go along with what Steve was saying, Cutter's focus has to be
wins
on the beginning of the season. It has to be. It can't be. He's not thinking about week four right now.
Steve tried to get that out of him.
Now, a lot of people made a big deal about that question to Cutter. Can you say right now that Winston's going to be your quarterback?
His question, right?
Hell of a question. I think he stole it from me because I mentioned it. I mentioned it on a podcast, but that's all right. Isbitz, he got it in before.
Was that
the
day you played hooky?
No, I was there when he said it. I was there, and Cutter wouldn't commit himself. He wouldn't. A lot of people made a big deal about it. You know, I think I understand why Cutter answered it the way he did. But if you're a Winston skeptic, you're going to turn that answer into he doesn't have any faith anymore in Winston. I don't think that's the case.
I don't think that's the case, but I also would understand if he did lose faith. I would understand that.
I think the 3-0 start, you know, look, you put up a good scenario. No matter what their record is, if Fitzpatrick's playing well, what do you do with week four?
My scenario was if Jameis comes out first day of practice and looks really rusty.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you just give the kid an extra week to get off the couch and be ready.
The other question is, if they're 3-0, does Winston even get to go out with the first unit on Wednesday? You know what? That's a good problem to have. Buck fans will take that. Buck fans will take
it. 3-0.
3-0, they're not too worried about
it. It just smells like Tim Couch and Derek Anderson.
I understand.
It smells like them. And that was no good.
Steve,
and Jameis is a hell of a lot better than Tim Couch.
What are the odds the Bucks are looking at a 3-0 start?
Odds are not very good, but, you know, no, not very good.
Hasn't happened, Lee, since 05.
All right, Ira, let me hit you with a few quick as we get out of the podcast here. First, we called for a change. We called for reviews of the podcast on the platforms, iTunes, Podbean. Got some nice reviews in on iTunes to balance out some of the haters out there. So you got a ton of great reviews overall. People love the podcast, and we appreciate it. Subscribe for a free alert.
Am I out of the top 50? Yes,
no, Google Play, you've actually soared up top 20 as of this morning. And you're unshakable.
Commish isn't happy about this, but you know what? Commish has got a couple of great podcasts coming up.
Commish loves it.
Oh,
Commish loves it.
I got the impression tomorrow's podcast with the commission is going to be must listen.
Yeah, we're going to talk about some of those things swirling around in the media. Next podcast, we'll flush it out a little bit more.
From One Buck Place, we'll talk about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ira, I've had a lot. I don't know if you've looked at it yet. I'll call your attention to it, but I've been looking at Chucky over in Oakland, the news conferences, and he is just in his same old Chucky. He's in love with the veterans. He's getting blasted in the national media because
killed over the Mac thing.
Because he hasn't even talked to Khalil Mack, who hasn't signed. He didn't even talk to him yet.
You know what his line was today?
Beautiful line.
They stunk on defense with him last year. Now, that's not a ring. Come on. That's no way to get Mack back on the team.
You know, as soon as I heard that, my initial thought was, if Chucky was coaching the Bucks, he would have said the same thing about Gerald McCoy. McCoy, we stunk with him. You know, we can, you know, it's just kind of funny. But he is, he does a hell of a news conference. He's a throwback with those news conferences.
He's not going to change, Lee. He's not going to change.
And the stat guys go nuts over him because he's not a stat guy.
So I'll tell you.
So they already got the swords out with him.
A quick Chucky story. He's up there with Oakland, and they asked him about, all the new technology and all the things available to you as a coach now. He's like, well, let me tell you about technology. I'm not going to do a Gruden impression. He's like, technology, it's great, but it's got to be better than what I had before. I'm in Monday Night Football. They give me a new remote control. I like the old one better. I don't like a new remote control. He's like this. I don't like that. You know, it's not always better. And he's, you know, still leaning on his old school stuff. And he loves Jordy Nelson. He loves all his old veterans. Marshawn Lynch can do no wrong. And what's interesting, Doug Martin did his news conference. I'm obsessed with all this stuff, Ira.
Steve doesn't miss anything, man.
No. They asked, here's what's interesting about this. It ties to the current Bucks. They asked Doug Martin, hey, you had two great years in Tampa. You know, what kind of running schemes were you running behind? And he said mostly zone schemes where I had my success in Tampa, zone schemes. Now, Dirk Cutter, who was the coordinator for one of those years, they brought in Ryan Jensen, and Ryan Jensen is not a zone guy. He's not a finesse guy, and they've got this more power mindset. It's very interesting to see how Cutter decides to run this running game and what it really looks like, and I don't know what it's really going to look like, but I thought that was interesting from Martin's perspective.
I think, you know, Lee, from a long way away, it looks like Gruden's off to a shaky start because you got the Mac situation. Now he'll be back. My understanding, Steve, is that Donald Penn isn't ready to play. I don't know what's going on with Penn. He's got the blind side of David Carr. You know, Derek Carr, that guy's the franchise.
You heard about the draft day story about Donald Penn, didn't you? When Chucky drafted a left tackle, Penn left a voicemail at Chucky's house and cussed him out.
I don't see a big year for the Raiders. I just don't see it.
Chucky loves him some Derek Carr. He was almost ready. You could tell he was almost ready to put him on the plane of Derek Brooks as far as how much this guy loves football and all that crap. But
who's going to have a worse year, Raiders or Dolphins?
Dolphins don't have a quarterback, at least the Raiders.
You know, he's 30 years old, Tannehill. You believe that?
Wow.
They think they got a quarterback. It'll be interesting.
I thought so, too. But then around the draft, there were all kinds of rumors they were checking out quarterbacks. So.
We'll get more into training camp on the next podcast.
Last one, Steve. Sage, just because I know you like the betting angle. I had said that I really like the Panthers and the over out there. And that's why I plan to have
And now the Panthers are going down like 10 pins.
Well, they're going down. But the defense is your guy, Dontari Poe, is getting rave reviews up there with Kawan Short. And nasty up the gut. And the funny thing, C.J. Anderson, who's the running back up there, he had a thing in Denver where he would come to training camp and sweat and to grind. He wore as many clothes as possible.
Wow.
that he could get to fit under his uniform, including a hoodie, through training camp. So he decided, I'm going to do this in Carolina. First day he comes out, 94 degrees. Heat index. He went through all practice with the hoodie and like six layers and like three layers of pants and I don't know if that's very smart, but
the warrior. I've been in Spartanburg in August. Oh boy!
Wow!
It makes Tampa look like Alaska, baby.
Seriously?
Oh yeah, it's brutal up there.
All right, Sage. For the fans coming out to training camp today, tomorrow, Thursday, something they should keep their eye on. We'll go out on that.
Well, I've already talked about JPP. So let's talk about the other side of the ball. Caleb Benenach. I think that job is sitting there. It's his to lose.
Yes.
It's his to lose. And with Dotson, you know, getting older, more injury prone, they got to have an anchor on the right side of that line. Left side, you're less worried about. They got some guys there that have been there. And I'm looking at 77, Mr. Benenach, right? Keep an eye on him.
All eyes on Benenach, says the Sage. We'll see you at practice, Ira.